Today, I want to bring you a topic that is being talked about more and more in society and in this day and age in history. But I think equally as important as needing to share this in the world and in the public and out there, we need to be talking about it in our churches. Topic of anxiety, mental health, depression. We've got this all around us. They're saying now that 1 in 4 struggle with a diagnosed mental illness. So that's not, I feel stressed and I have some anxiety. That's someone who's diagnosed, possibly on meds, possibly seeking counseling. So if we're saying 1 in 4, not to point fingers, but we've got people in this room, right? So let's take a look at this. Now, I want to kind of give like this little disclaimer. Normally I have a lot more scripture when I speak, but when we talk on a topic like this, we want to get a lot of information to you. And to be able to do that, I do have some scripture. I will get there. And God is in this. And of course, that's going to be strung through this topic this morning. But there isn't maybe as much scripture as sometimes when someone would speak, because I do want to give you knowledge, tools, and different things that you can have in your hand so that you can leave here today as a child of God to be able to go out into your community and make a difference on this topic. So I apologize for there being a little less scripture in this topic, but I hope that today you will be able to go away from here with a lot of tools in your pocket to be able to help the people of that are in this community and those right around you. It's interesting today that I'm speaking on anxiety. Pastor Kelly and I had talked about this a while ago and saying that this is a topic that I have spoke on before, and I was willing to do this. Now, since then, we've had this breakout of COVID-19. And if you want to hear a little bit of my background, I live in Moose Jaw, actually. I live remote from the college, so I am on the road for my job a fair bit. So it works for me to live from afar and work for the college. So that's where I am. College is in Saskatoon. I live in Moose Jaw. I have a husband, Scott. He is a teacher, teaches grade 4, and he's an arts ed teacher as well. And we have 3 kids. Our oldest, Andrew, is in second year at Horizon, and our younger 2, Tim and Mandy, are in high school. So that's a little bit about me. But a little bit farther, this topic of anxiety has kind of brought a little bit up lately. My husband, in the last few years, has had a very serious autoimmune disease, and it has affected his lungs. So we are of those people who are probably a little bit more paranoid than other people. And actually, as of today, once I'm done speaking here, I will be going home to quarantine for several weeks to protect not just myself, but so that I'm not going to bring this home to my family. So do we need to be smart and aware and listen to what people are saying? We do. We do. We all have knowledge in certain areas. And the healthcare system that is out there, are they going overboard? Are they not? You know what? Let's just say they're the ones who are in charge. So let's listen. Let's listen and let's follow what they have to say. And it's been awesome just watching you guys as a church, listening to Pastor Kelly and Kim chat back and forth about what should we do, how should we handle it. Like, there's wisdom here, and I really appreciate that. So we're going to talk about anxiety as I, in this stage with this virus going around, have struggled a little bit more again recently. Thought that I was kind of past this anxiety with my husband's health, and now it's kind of in our face again. So interesting that we're interesting that we're using this as a topic today and speaking on this. And also, the song that was chosen right before I come up to speak was a song that, with the air in my lungs, I I'm going to worship you. That song, when it came out at in our church, it's probably older, but when it came out in our church, was right at the height of my husband's illness, and I used to cry through that whole song, because I was like, he doesn't have air in his lungs, he can't worship you today because he doesn't have the air, that's reality. Like, we do struggle, we have struggles and we have anxieties, but God is big. He's got this. He has been God through all of history, of everything that has gone through. There have been plagues, there have been wars, there have been all kinds of things. We're going to get through this. We have anxiety, yes, but let's figure out how we can cope. Let's support each other. Let's look to God, and let's take this topic and tackle it. Let's get tools so that we can face this with educated brains, so we can go out there with knowledge and not just, what do we do? you know, it's out there, let's face it. So I'm sure now I'll get back to my notes. That was just an opener. I'm sure you've heard it before. This has been said many times. Oh, but don't worry, God has not given you anything more than you can handle. Anyone heard that before? How many of you think that that's in Scripture? Because it is so not in Scripture. I think when we look at that phrase, we can look at it and say, yeah, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, let's look at that a little bit. He is saying that we will not be tempted beyond what we can endure. But did he tell us that he will not give us more than we can endure? I don't think so. That's not in there in what I read. So when I look at that, I just think he, yes, won't tempt us beyond what we can handle. But we do have trials that often outdo what we think we can handle. And I just want to, I'm going to expand a little bit more on what some people might say the dark night of the soul. I want to call it, there was a period of time where we had a dark summer of the soul. My husband was sick with this autoimmune disease. I still had all three kids at home. My oldest was struggling emotionally. He was struggling with some anxiety and depression. My other son was having some health issues that we were having testing done. He had some growths that we needed to get checked out. And then all of a sudden, so did I. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Like, this is too much. I've got a sick husband at home. I'm trying to single parent these three kids because he's not available. Now my oldest is struggling emotionally. I'm trying to be there for him. My next kid I'm taking to doctors and appointments and specialists. And then all of a sudden me, like, mama can't go down. It just doesn't work. So I was just in this place where I'm like, this is way too much. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I probably was not coping as well as I should have been. Maybe I was. I don't know. It was dark. We go through seasons in life where it's too much. It is way more than we can handle. But God in Scripture has shown us time after time of stories throughout history where it was extreme. Like, you read some of those Old Testament stories, guys, it's extreme. And you go, what in the world? Like, that's way more than anyone could handle. But, you know, God, I think, takes us through some of those seasons so that we can learn, we can grow. He brings us to our knees. We go to him when stuff is crazy in our life. And I want to say that in that trial, I had a choice with that verse. It says, he won't tempt us more than we can handle to get out of temptation. So in that, in my trial, I could be over here and I could say, yeah, in that trial, I can't handle it anymore, I'm going to break, and I'm just going to sin. I'm tempted. I don't even want to live for God anymore. I'm done. He is not providing for my family. He is not fixing this. I'm done. That's my temptation to sin. But I also have a choice over here. He says, I can give you a choice. I can give you the tools you need, and he won't tempt us more than we can handle to make this decision of whether we're over there and not going to choose to follow him, or over here and saying, this is nuts, I can't stand it, go as far as to say this sucks, but I'm going to choose to follow you, God, because your word says that you are faithful and you have been faithful in the past, and I see you in moments right now, and I am going to trust that you are here in the future. And that's the choice that we have to make. Will he give us more than we can handle? Yes. But will he tempt us more than we can handle? No. We will always be able to have that choice of whether we're going to follow him and we're going to trust him when it's hard, or if we're going to choose to walk away. So does he give us more than we can handle? Yeah. He might. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are going through a lot of things. That was my one story. I mean, I'm older, I've got lots of stories in my life that have been hard. But there are people that are going through things, and sometimes our mental health struggles are circumstantial. We go through something, it causes us stress. That is a natural response to something. Or we have a moment where it's awesome and things are exciting and we are happy and joyful. Those emotions God gave us. And sometimes we have some anxieties or some fears and some stresses, and it's circumstantial, and that happens, and that's okay. That's a natural response. You wouldn't be normal if you didn't have those feelings. But then there are people who possibly have circumstances that go on so long that it enters into a clinical state of anxiety or depression, where it's not circumstantial anymore, and it turns into a clinical scenario where there needs to be counseling, there needs to be doctors, there maybe needs to be medication to be able to help us move forward. So those are the things that I want to talk about today. I want to look at a slide, if you can pop that up there. The health continuum slide. Because in this day and age, with so much information out there, we need to be able to get on board and get on the same page of what we're talking about. So I'm going to introduce you to this model. It is the mental health continuum, because I found that this was really clear of kind of where we're at in our mental health. Because mental health is not, I have mental health problems over here, or I do not have mental health problems. It is a continuum. Emotions are a continuum. We have highs, we have lows. But this shows us kind of where we are on a continuum of healthy. Sometimes things we might react or respond to things because things might be a little bit hard, or we might get injured because those circumstances get to be too far, and then we can maybe push to illness. So everybody is on the spectrum somewhere in their mental health. We all have mental health. It's where we are on the scale that says we're healthy in our mental health, or we're ill in our mental health, or somewhere in between. So if we look at this in the healthy zone, that is when things are going well. We are taking things in stride, we're sleeping well, we're physically well, things are pretty good around us. We might have some hiccups in the road. Obviously, everybody has that, might have a bad day here and there, but generally speaking, we're pretty healthy. But then we have times where things get a little bit stressful. So maybe in this day, this time, in this season with coronavirus out there, might be a season where people might push over to the yellow if they're finding that those kinds of things stress them out, or if they have a loved one who is compromised, it might push them into the yellow. At the college, they might say this would be like their week when all their exam or their assignments are due, when they have exams, they might be pushing more into the yellow, which is a natural response because that's more pressureful. So in that yellow, we might feel a little bit more irritable. We might feel impatient. We might feel sad. We might forget things. We might have trouble sleeping a little bit sometimes. We might even have a nightmare about missing a class or missing an assignment that needed to get handed in. Or you might be having stresses at work and you're having nightmares that you don't wake up in the morning and don't show up for work and you get fired. So there's things that are a natural way that we respond and we react to things in our life. And it might push us into the yellow, and that is natural. That is absolutely normal. But then when we sit in that yellow for a little too long and things don't change for us, sometimes that can push us over into the injured side. Whatever is happening in our life is not settling down, or we might have an experience or something happen that pushes us and we get injured. So this is where we need to start going, this is kind of concerning here. My irritable and impatient personality in that little spot of a season of stress is now all of a sudden feeling where I am angry. I'm angry, I've got anxiety, I've got sad and hopeless thoughts that are constantly in my brain, increased fatigue, we're avoiding people. Sometimes we feel like we can't emotionally connect with people, so we start pulling away, we withdraw. We may have feelings like, I don't want to go to church this morning because I don't want to try and plaster a smile on my face, or I don't want people to ask me, how are you? Because I don't know how to respond to that. So we withdraw. So these are the things that push us into that orange zone where we go, whoa, wait a second. If I'm in this zone, I need to say, I need to stop trying to do this on my own and I need to get some help. So your first step might be talk to a friend, someone you trust, someone that loves you, someone that you can sit with and just unload. Because sometimes getting it all out all of a sudden we're like, okay, I feel better now. I'm feeling like I'm back in that yellow zone again once we kind of get it all out of our system. Because really, when you look at a definition of anxiety, it's anxious thoughts that swirl in your head and you start overthinking. So they're in your head, you overthink, and you can't stop. It's just this constant battle of overthinking. But kind of the antidote or the what we can try and help with anxiety is once we get those thoughts out of our head and out our mouth with someone else to do it with us, it stops the overthinking train. So that when you get to that spot, or if someone is in this spot of in the orange, we want to make sure and take note. We want to look at it and say, okay, I got to talk to somebody. And if as you're talking to that person, it's coming out, and it's coming out bigger than you even thought it was, there might be needing to have a conversation of, I need to go to the doctor, I need to go to a counselor. Because sometimes a friend or a loved one just doesn't have the tools to be able to talk it out with you. If things get too big, there needs to be somebody, a professional, that knows how to ask the right questions, how to give you the tools that you need to be able to cope and heal from some of those things that are happening in your life that have pushed you into that orange zone. Now, when we start getting a little afraid is when people are in this orange zone and they start tipping constantly into the red. Not sure if you can read that, but I will read that for you. In the red, all of a sudden, our anger turns into anger outbursts. It's not just anger inside anymore. It's anger outbursts, aggression, anxiety, panic attacks, thoughts of suicide. All of a sudden, you can't perform the duties or behave or concentrate like you did before. You can't fall asleep or stay asleep. You've got insomnia, sleeping too much or too little. It can be either. Not going out, you don't want to answer your phone anymore, and then all of a sudden there's substance abuse, gambling addiction, food addictions, other addictions that come into place because we're trying to grab onto something to cope because we can't cope on our own. So that's a spot where it's like definitely needs to have a doctor involved for sure, and be able to look at the scenario and say, okay, let's look at this with a clear mind of someone who has a clear mind and can assess. And to say, okay, these are the next steps that we need to do to get you out of this danger zone right now, because this isn't safe for you. So I wanted to present this to you because in your congregation, it would be awesome if you guys all had the same language. Because sometimes it's really hard to walk up to someone. It takes courage to say, I'm really struggling. And they're like, what? And then you feel like you've got to explain. But if you're struggling and you can go to someone and say, remember that health continuum sheet? I'm in the yellow and I'm constantly bumping into the orange lately and I'm kind of concerned. Would you have a conversation with me? They'll be like, oh, I know what you're talking about. It saves a whole conversation of stress of how am I going to bring this up? How am I going to present this? How am I going to start the conversation? So if we can have this in our hands as a tool, we will be able to help each other and minister to each other more effectively. And then if you've got this tool and you guys are mastering it here and supporting each other in your community, all of a sudden you've got a friend that is unchurched, that is sitting with you for coffee, and they're unloading to you and you're going, whoa, I think they're in that orange zone and I'm concerned. You can give them this sheet and say, I don't mean to be preachy or tell you you're having major problems that can't be fixed, but I think if you look at this, I think you really need to see that maybe you need some help. Maybe there's somebody you could talk to. Maybe you need to see a doctor. And then all of a sudden you're bringing somebody else into the same language as you're using, and now you're going to be able to support that person better because they will be able to have the language that you are having. And once we get similar language, the conversation is easier to have. So I encourage you, there's copies of this that were made. I encourage you guys to take this home, to look at it, to talk about it. Really, that, like, when Bell came out with that whole campaign of let's talk, so smart. Because we need to talk about it. We need to be talking about it. We as a church, are we going to be a hindrance where we're like, they just need Jesus, they just need prayer, they need this, they need that, and we're in people's faces? It's like, that's not going to be a help. Are we going to hinder with that, or are we just going to ignore it, sweep it under the rug? That's also a hindrance to our community and to our right here and to the community around us. Or are we going to be a haven for people who can come, who can feel safe in this place, who can have conversations, who can also reach out to the community and go, that church is safe. That church understands, that church is safe in this area. So we want to be able to be a haven for our communities, not a hindrance. So I hope that this tool will help you be able to do that. Now, I also kind of want to take you down a little acronym to be able to help you kind of see how we can have conversations with people and how we can be this help and be a haven and not a hindrance. And I've got the A, B, C, D, kind of the ABCs of how to be a help. And I want to take you there. The first one is avoiding advice. When my son was struggling with anxiety and depression when he was in high school, I think it all did kind of stem circumstantially from my husband's illness. He was my oldest, so he had a lot of weight on his shoulders, and he really struggled. He had some friend stuff happen at school, too, that was difficult, and it just, the circumstances were going on too long, and it pushed him into the orange zone for too long. And I can tell you, as a parent, I did the absolute wrong thing, and if I was educated, I would have maybe done things a little differently. But back then, I was giving him every single piece of advice I could give. I'm like, okay, but buddy, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. But somebody who's struggling in this area, they've, one, already thought of all those things that you are telling them. It's like, yeah, I've tried that, I've tried that, I've tried that. They have already thought of those things. And two, when they're in a state where they're foggy and they can't see things, what you're asking them to do is adding to the overwhelmingness of their situation. So I look back and I think, good grief, if I had tools in my belt, I could have done things better. He has graciously forgiven me for some of those things that I did really poorly, and he is doing really well. Like in the current time, he has had a lot of healing from a lot of stuff, and I'm so proud of him, and he has done so awesome in leading himself and leading those around him. I'm proud of that kid. But the thing is, we want to remember for A is avoid advice. And this is a cute video that it's called Nail in the Head. Maybe some of you have seen this, but it is a really good kind of funny way for us to see. Sometimes advice isn't always the best thing. We can skip that one if you want to work on the next video to come up. Then maybe we can have that one ready to go. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll just explain. So this video is of a lady who's talking to her husband, and she's saying, I just have this pressure in my head and this pain, and I can't figure out how to fix it. And then she turns to him, and she's got a nail in her head. And he's like, well, pull the nail out of your head. And she's like, you don't even listen to me. You're not seeing what's going on. And she's fighting with him, saying, I don't have a problem, stop giving me advice. And sometimes it seems clear. So in that scenario, sometimes when we look at someone's situation, it might feel so obvious to us. It's like, get the stinking nail out of your head and you'll feel better. But when they're in a fog and they can't see it, it's like adding and heaping stress onto it, when sometimes we need to be a listening ear, create a safe zone, get the help that they need until they're in a place where it can be like, what if we tried this? But you earn that place to be able to give advice.
It's just, there's all this pressure.
Here we
go. And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out... See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on! Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on
talking? Very obvious to us sometimes what needs to happen, but we need to try our very best to avoid advice. It's not always helpful. And B is be curious. The more questions we ask, the more they'll be able to talk to us. The more that we talk, the less they're talking. So if we can ask questions, well, how long have you been feeling this way? Is there something that you think triggered how you're feeling? What has helped you in the past? So they are answering you with your questions. You are learning about them, and they are learning about themselves as they communicate and get it out. So be curious. Ask lots of questions. C is convey empathy. Now, what is empathy? Definition is taking the perspective of another and feeling it with them. That is so hard when we are naturally advice givers. We want to fix often, especially moms. I think that's kind of in us. We want to fix everything around us, but we can't always fix it. We can't always give the right advice, but we can be curious and we can be empathetic. This is a really great example of how empathy works. It's coming.
My rocket! Wait, Riley and I were still using that rocket. It still has some song power left. Who's your friend who likes to play? No! No, 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 you can't take my rocket to the top. Riley and I are going to the moon. Oh. Riley can't be done with me.
Hey, it's gonna be okay. We can fix this. We just need to get back to headquarters. Which way to the train station?
I had a whole trip planned for us.
Hey, who's ticklish, huh? Here comes the tickle monster.
Hey, Bing Bong, look at this. Oh, here's a fun game. You point to the train station and we all go there. Won't that be fun? Come on, let's go to the train station.
I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved. It's gone. Forever.
Sadness. Don't make him feel worse.
Sorry.
It's all I had left of Riley.
I bet you and Riley had great adventures.
Oh, they were wonderful. Once we flew back in time, we had breakfast twice that day.
Sadness!
It sounds amazing. I bet Riley liked it.
Oh, she did. We were best friends.
Yeah, it's sad.
I'm okay now. Come on, the train station is this way.
Wasn't that a beautiful picture of what empathy can look like? I think sometimes we want to get in there and we want to fix everything and we want to say, come on, let's just be happy. We need to be happy. Let's go do something fun. Let's bring you out of your slump. But if we think of when someone is struggling with mental illness, like somebody who has lost a loved one, we don't go to somebody who's lost a loved one and be like, hey, let's go skating. Let's pick you up out of the slump. It's no, we sit there and we say, I'm so, so sorry for your loss. And we sit there with them. And we empathize, and we hear stories, and we feel sad when they're sad, and we empathize and sit there with them. And with mental health, we need to look at it the same way. We need to be able to convey empathy. We also need to dedicate time. Sometimes we feel like it's going to be a half-hour conversation if we run into somebody at the grocery store and they're having some stories that they want to tell you, and we think, oh, I don't have half an hour, and we want to avoid. But guess what? They probably don't want to talk to you for half an hour, but you going to them and saying, hey, I thought about you the other day. Have a conversation. It'll probably be a 3-minute conversation. Let's not avoid people, but let's dedicate time. And possibly, if we have time later in the week, we could set it up and say, hey, on Saturday, can I pick you up and take you for breakfast? I could be there at 9. You handle the details. Because if you say to somebody who's struggling, oh, if you're having a bad day, just call me, Kay. Do you think they're going to do it? Generally, people don't. But if we handle the details, dedicate that time and say, hey, on Saturday, let's do this. Pick the time, invite them out, set it up. They might say, wow, they care. Yeah, I'll do that. Let's also express hope. Sometimes when people are in that dark place, they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. We may be the only light that they can see. So when we sit with them, we need to be able to say, I really think that this is going to come, you're going to come through this. God is big and he is here. Can I pray with you? Your hope in their situation may be the only hope that they feel. So let's express hope and let's bring that to them. Now, I do want to also bring some scripture into this. And this story in 1 Kings, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is the precursor to this is the story of when Elijah, back in that day, he's a prophet. It's hard times. There's famine. It's crazy all around them. This is one of those scenarios where it's like, I bet you they felt similar to how we're feeling possibly with this coronavirus. And I would think actually probably a little more stressed than we are. There were people turning to worshiping Baal constantly. And in the story, it ends up being, I'm sure you know this Bible story if you've been in church, of they get into this battle of calling down fire between the prophets of Baal and then Elijah calling down fire. And he douses water all over his, builds a trench and puts water and calls down fire. It's actually one of my favorite parts when he says to Baal, and he starts taunting them, the verse that says, this is in chapter 18, he says, shout louder. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and needs to be awakened. I can just picture this guy, like, just mocking this guy out. That verse kind of cracks me up. But what I want to draw your attention to is past this story. I think sometimes we hear the story, but we don't see what happens after. This guy, like, Elijah was under fire. Yes, God came and he brought fire and he was proved that God is real. But what happens after that, when Jezebel's mad and she's ready to come and make sure that his life ends, I want to draw you to chapter 19, verse 3, and I'm going to read till the end of 9. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I think he was in the red. He was suicidal. He's basically saying, I want to die. I crawled under a tree, even though God just did this amazing miracle. We actually won the battle, and now I'm sitting under a tree and I want to die. That's called massive stress. But then he says, I'm no better than any of my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid back down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. The journey is far too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night again. And he kept on going. But what's amazing about this next part of this story is that he was in dire straits. He needed someone to come and pick him up. And what this angel did is exactly what he needed: food, water, and sleep. And when we look at this, we're like, that's what we need to be for each other. When someone's in struggle with mental health and they're heading over towards that orange and that yellow or in that red zone, we need to be looking at it and going, what can I do? Can I bring them food? Can I be there? What do they need in this moment? I think Peyton said it best on about this passage. She said, never underestimate the power of a snack and a nap, which is true. I just want to, I just want you to see that in Scripture, in this story, we see that it's there. This is not a new thing. Anxiety and depression, struggles with mental health is not new. It's all around us. It's been all around us. It's been there from the very beginning. And God knew that. In the Bible, I had heard somebody say, now, I don't know whether this is all legit or not. I didn't go through and actually count how many times this was, but we'll trust maybe it's true. But it said 365 times, it says in God's word, that do not fear, or I am with you, or do not be afraid. Phrases like that. Well, that's one for every day of the year. It's like he knew we would have anxieties. He knew we would have struggles with mental health. He knew that we need to hear that over and over. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. I am with you. So we need to look at it like both approaches. We need to get educated. We need to have tools in our tool belt so that we can help those around us. And we also need to make sure that we know that we do not need to be afraid. God is with us. He's got this. He's been faithful in the past. He's faithful right now in the midst of it, and he will be faithful in the future. He will be. He is there. So I would just like to pray for you today. I'm going to end with a prayer, and I just like everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes. And if you would like prayer on this, I would just love it if you would be able to hold up your hand. That might make you feel too vulnerable. I'm still praying for you if you don't put your hand up, but if I can see who you are, I'd like to pray for you. God, you say in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God, for those struggling with severe mental illness and do not know how to make it till tomorrow, please show them how much you love them. Lord, I just pray you'd place people on their path that will care for them well. Holy Spirit, please breathe life back into their souls. God, for those who are supporting someone who is struggling, help them be your hands, your feet, your voice of love. I pray, God, that as a church, we would be a haven, not a hindrance to our community around us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sharing history with us, that we can have stories from the past of how you helped Elijah through the dark night of the soul. And God, you'll do that for us. Thank you that you speak to our value so clearly in Psalm 139, where you tell us that your thoughts outnumber the grains of sand. Your thoughts of us are that vast because you love us so deeply. Thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for us, so we get to spend eternity with you. Our trials on earth are temporary, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for encouraging us with lots of verses in the Bible that tell us you are with us and you won't leave us. Thank you for your word. Help us to be lovers of your word, the bread of life. Your word that breathes life into us, God, help us to turn there. God, I pray that you would bless this church with your favor. Help them to be a light and a haven in this community. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for being here. Your Holy Spirit has been so sweet here today, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would go with each one today in their lives, whatever they are facing, God. Joy in the happy and the healthy moments, and help us to sit with those who are sad. Thank you for your constant love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.